The Walking Dead Girl Podcast, Episode 21. Hello, everybody. My name is Jasmine.
And this is Michael.
And I'm the Walking Dead Girl. In this podcast, we review and discuss the hit TV show, The Walking Dead, from AMC. In addition to reviewing the TV episodes right after they air, we sometimes have interviews with special guests.
If you want to give us feedback on the show, you can send email to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com, or you can leave a comment on this episode page on our website, thewalkingdeadgirl.com. We routinely read feedback and comments on the show.
Currently, we're reviewing Season 3, Episode 1, the season premiere. And before we get started, I want to remind you guys that we'll be discussing every gory detail about the TV show. So obviously, there will be spoilers. Don't say we didn't warn you.
And this episode is called Seed.
Yes.
Why do you think it's called Seed?
Actually, now that I think about it, I don't really know why it's called Seed. Maybe is it the part where there's a part where Herschel says, oh yeah, this area is good for planting seeds.
Could be, yeah.
Tomatoes and stuff.
Or it could be Lori's baby. The seed is planted in her.
What?
there was a seed planted and it's growing.
Oh my goodness, Dad.
Or it's, yeah, they're planting a seed.
Or they're like, you know, exactly. They're setting foot into the...
In the last episode we reviewed, we saw two things, like we said, right? Michonne.
Yes, we saw Michonne and we saw their new... You know, the new place that they're going to be checking out, which is the prison. But they, for some reason, haven't, you know, seen it all winter because the show does resume, but in the summertime. So this is after winter. And they've been around the area like several times and going in circles, and they haven't seen the prison at all.
Yeah, which is strange. And all of a sudden they found it. They just walked along and they found it.
Exactly.
I like the way it started. How the show opened.
Mm-hmm. Especially with the very, very first scene, because we're zooming out of this thing that we don't know what it is, but it turns out to be a zombie eyeball.
Yeah, and it looks different than a human eyeball.
Yeah, all you see is the pupil. You don't see the iris or anything.
Yeah, it's scary.
I know, it's gross.
And it's just zombies to stand there, and then who walks in to the house, the abandoned house?
Rick enters in, like kicking open the door and like machetes and like cuts his walkers down. And
one thing was kind of cool. We saw Carl was kind of different.
Yeah. He had longer hair and he was also part of the team on killing zombies.
He had a cool looking gun.
Oh yeah. He put like some kind of homemade silencer on his gun.
Yeah. He had this little tiny gun with this humongous silencer on it. I didn't even think he could hold that.
Really?
It looked bigger than him.
I know.
It looked really awkward.
Well, come on. It's like it's the apocalypse, not like the military. We're not going to have like, you know, awesome silencers.
Well, I think it was pretty cool. But the one thing we noticed was he was very aggressive and he was confident.
Exactly.
Like, it wasn't the Carl we remembered from second season.
Yeah.
He was more...
Take charge kind of thing.
Yeah. And he didn't fear the walkers.
Yeah, exactly. He took them down like anybody else.
He wasn't afraid of them, because in the second season, he was pretty timid, like, and especially with the river scene where he was like scared of the walkers.
Yeah.
This one was, he was really confident taking them out. And eventually we saw the other characters come in.
Yeah. We saw Daryl and we also saw T-Dog. Those were the...
Pretty much everyone else.
Yeah. And I also wanted to mention that before they walked in, the walkers seemed very dormant.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that they weren't really moving around until there was noise being made? And Daryl took out this owl in the upstairs because they were going through a house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like he's the ultimate wilderness survivor, because as soon as he took down the bird, he started plucking feathers out of it to get ready to cook it and stuff.
He was probably hungry too.
Yeah, and we realize, and then everybody starts coming into the house because they're guests going to set up a mini camp or, you know, take a breather. And we find out that Lori's like super pregos. Like, that baby's ready to pop.
Stomach is really huge.
Mm-hmm. And they all look very dirty, tired, exhausted. They're scrounging around for food. They're very desperate right now. And one thing that Carl finds is dog food. And he's like all excited, getting ready to open the can. And everyone's really quiet, you know, like they're accepting like, okay, well, we have to stoop so low as to eat dog food now.
Yeah.
And Rick gets pissed off. So he takes the can, he throws it into the fireplace.
Yeah, he picks up the can that Carl opened and he looks at it in disgust.
Exactly.
And he throws it into the fireplace. Yeah, which was, I would be kind of
offended. Again,
what is he trying to say with that action?
He thinks it's pathetic that we have to stoop so low as to eat dog food. Like he refuses to go that low.
Mm-hmm.
He refuses the group to go that low, you know? And I think even though it's kind of hard to take because, you know, they're just trying to be, Carl's just trying to be nice. And was so aggressive. No one really said anything because
mm-hmm.
they didn't really want to eat the dog food, but you notice this whole scene was like no dialogue at all.
Yeah. No, there was no dialogue and the people just looking at each other.
Yeah. And you can see the unity of the group because when they were going through the house, they went through like they were used to it. Like they're going through this thing that is like they're so used to.
They're going through the motions.
Yeah, going through the motions. Like they're a team, you know, everyone has a job.
But also the fact that there's no dialogue says a lot about how their mental state is they kind of feel they're in the state of depression kind of because they're not talking about anything.
Yeah, there isn't anything more to say.
Yeah.
I mean, they spent the whole winter together. You know, you're probably wasting energy speaking anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then we find out what really was going, how much, you know, the group knows. And we see that Rick is totally like the alpha male and like the leader of this whole group.
Yep.
You know, we've seen that before, but now it's really more prominent and people are more willing to listen because, you know, he's taking care of them for so long. No one died over the winter. Mm-hmm. You know, people are hungry, but they're not dead. And he discusses their next, you know, their next objective, you know, like where we can't keep going inside of houses. And they mention, and he brings out a map and has this, and he starts talking about the hordes and about how they're following them and they're really trying to outrun them. And they talk about how hordes are emerging together here at this section and how they're supposed to go this way and all that. And so, yeah, we find out that they know that they're making a pattern and that, you know, they're adapting to it and they're really aware about what's going on. And they've been doing this for a while because they said that. Because Glenn's like, well, we've just been going around in circles. And Rick is like, well, yeah, we're going around in circles. And that's what we're going to keep doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And ending that conversation.
Yeah, it was cool because the map, if you look closely at, well, it's hard to say how the map was, but I noticed there was like big red circles on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like where the hordes, it's like, okay, the hordes are over here and they're moving and they're migrating here and there. So it's kind of like they were keeping track of where the hordes were and they were just keeping one step ahead of them, I guess.
Yeah, they started saying like, yeah, we're 150 feet behind them or yards or miles or whatever.
Miles, probably,
yeah.
So they, which was kind of interesting to see how, it's interesting to imagine like what they went through and you could probably do like a whole
sideshow about
season or episode about how they
survived the winter,
how they survived all the different houses they went to, because they were saying, you know, we go from house to house, so that's probably why they were at that house looking for food and just seeing if it was a new home for them.
And I that's what I also like about the show is like the realisticness of it. They have attention to detail, you know, mm-hmm. kind of fill in the gaps, and they haven't reached the prison at this point yet.
Daryl says, you know, while everybody's taking a break washing their panties, let's go for a hunt. Daryl's always, you know, has the best lines.
Uh-huh.
And they go
through the forest,
I guess, and they walk in along these train tracks and they see
the prison.
The prison, finally.
And I think, prison. Yeah, and I think Rick is like, oh, it's a shame because they saw all the walkers around, but. Well,
Daryl said it was a shame. Yeah. So it's a shame it's overrun or something.
Yeah. And while Daryl thought it was overrun, Rick is like, this is perfect.
He didn't actually say that at that moment, but you could see the look on his face.
Yeah. Like, this is, oh, wow. He was almost
smiling. And, well, he was kind of half smiling and his eyes were like bug out. And he was like, okay, this is it. This is the home.
This is the place.
This is it. This is perfect, you know?
And once he told everybody, everyone was like ready to go, you know, and then they went in, and this is like another good scene. I really liked. I think this is one of my favorite scenes of the episode. They go in and they infiltrate the prison and it's very organized. They're like, you're going to take the towers. You're going to shoot from above and you're going to cover me and I'm going to go out and get to the other tower. And then you guys take that other tower and you guys distract them from the fence and, you know, try to draw the walkers away from me as I'm trying to get to the tower.
So I think Rick was trying to, okay, so the plan was that Rick would go in and close the gate that led into the main building. Yeah,
so they can just take the field outside the prison.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, well, Glenn offered to do it first. Notice that?
Yeah.
Glenn offered to do it, and then Maggie said, no.
It's a suicide mission.
Of course. But Rick offered. He said, I'll go. Rick said, I'll go. And it seems like Rick is kind of doing everything again, taking over. Like, it's a suicide mission for Glenn, but it's not for Rick.
Yeah.
It's still a suicide mission, but Rick doesn't really, you know, and Lori doesn't say anything. So I guess he's the one.
I know. It's kind of, yeah.
Maybe Rick was like, well, you guys are a couple and you're in love and I don't want Glenn to die.
my responsibility.
And Maggie lose Glenn, so I'll sacrifice my life if I have to.
Kind of, yeah. I don't know. Unspoken kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I was going to talk about the relationship, but we'll get to that later. Yeah, so everybody's dressed in inmate gear. You know, everyone's like all, they're not, well, the walkers are dressed in inmate gear. No, not the actual characters, but the walkers are dressed in inmate gear. So you know that they're all prisoners and they are all, and it's kind of weird. I want to know the story of how it got overrun, you know? And yeah, Rick acts like a lone ranger and goes out into the big field that is are surrounded by fences. They get into the fence by like, they cut the fence and then they wrap it up again in wire. And then they're in this fence and they take down the walkers and he's really trying to get to the gate. And Carol and T-Dog and Daryl are on the towers and they're really providing cover fire for him.
Yeah, and then there's some people outside the fence banging on the fence trying to attract the walkers.
And kill them, too.
And they're killing them through the fence.
Yeah.
Which is like, hey, come close, come to the fence. And then as they come close, they would have their brains bashed in.
Brains bashed in. And there was one part and one shot in the scene where Carol accidentally almost shoots Rick because she shoots right in front of him at his feet.
Yeah.
And she's like, sorry. Like, no big deal.
Yeah, and there was a lot of close calls where Daryl shoots a zombie in the head with an arrow right next to Rick.
Yeah.
As he was walking, Rick's like looking around, oh, what happened?
Like, thanks, brother. and then when Carol shoots in front of him, he gives her the look like, watch out, you know?
So there was basically this very long scene where everyone's shooting like crazy at the walkers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of gunfire.
A lot of headshots. Every single one is a headshot.
Of course. And
I mean, they've gotten good at like killing walkers.
Yeah, they're very good.
They had a whole winter to do it.
And there was one towards the end as they were shooting. Rick had the had like a kind of like a rifle with a scope on it and stuff. So he was shooting from far away, and he was like smiling, laughing almost. Like he was laughing at some point.
Well, he was happy because it was working. Like, the plan was working.
It's working. Yeah, like everyone was like shooting away. The walkers were falling down. And he was like. Like laughing, like, oh, this is awesome,
right? And then he kills the last walker, and he's like, "Yeah,
this is awesome."
Mm-hmm. So as soon as they kill all the walkers and the whole field is clear, everyone's super happy that they have all this space to themselves that's, you know, contained and clear, you know. And I'm like, why are they just making such a big deal? It's just a big field. But then I realized they haven't been to a safe place that they didn't have to worry about looking, always constantly turning around for walkers.
Because
once the gate closes and once all the walkers are down inside, they're basically in this protected
area.
Yeah, this protected area. They can sleep without having to check the perimeter all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because the walkers can't get through the fences.
Exactly.
They can't climb. At least they haven't learned how to climb yet.
Yeah, this is as close as they're going to get to safety.
Yeah. However, I like to, you know, be a party pooper in that in the first season, there was one scene where when they were in Atlanta, one of the walkers climbed over the fence, if you remember.
Oh, when they were running away from the truck or whatever?
Yeah, where they had the zombie guts on them.
Oh, yeah.
And Glenn and Rick had them. They closed the gate and they were running towards the truck and then somehow a zombie climbed over the fence.
Well, that's when they were more alive. I mean, not alive, but they were fresh. You know what I mean?
All I'm saying is that there were hints in season one that the zombies were smart and they were doing things and then they kind of clamped down on that.
No, it's not really that they clamped down on it. It's that they're losing the memory of that.
I think that, well,
because if you think about it, the first season, yeah, the wife of the black guy, I forgot his name, and his son,
mm-hmm.
She tried
Morgan's wife.
Yeah, Morgan's wife tried to open the door, right? But she couldn't.
Yeah. So all I'm saying is that they had some hints in season one that the zombies were smart, and they never went back to that, or the people who are, you know, the writers basically never went back to that at all.
Well, season two didn't really give them an option.
season two didn't show anything, and so far, you know, season three is not showing anything, any smartness either. So anyway, just want to mention that just because they're behind the fence doesn't mean that they're super safe.
Well, they have the barbed wire.
Yeah.
The top.
That kind of stops things too.
Yeah. And Herschel mentioned something that, you know, this is good soil. You can use this to farm, and then that leads a conversation to all the possibilities they could have with just that area itself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
so what do you think about the idea of going to a prison? I mean, a prison is something that you want to run away from because, I mean, if there is
before the apocalypse,
you don't want to go to a prison.
That's exactly. It's to keep people from coming out, but now it's useful to keep people in. Actually, reverse. It was useful before to keep people in, and now it's useful to keep people out.
Yeah.
To keep walkers out. Yeah, to keep walkers out. And I think the jail, the prison, is the perfect place to just chill out and protect yourself because it's like easily defensible because it's already defensible before. It was built to, you know, it's built to keep people in.
Yeah, I like the towers.
Yeah, the watchtower towers can come really in handy all the time.
Yeah. Obviously the walkers can't climb up the tower. It's pretty high and they can't get in there. So having a tower, I mean, being up on the tower is like, that's it. But then you need food. You need to come back down. But the towers are pretty good. And plus you can see everything from up there. Like you can see if walkers are coming. Plus the fence around the prison is double. It's double line. Like there's two sets of fences. There's two rows of fences. So even if they break down the first fence, there's still the second one that the walkers have to get through.
Yeah, there's still time. Yeah.
There's two fences.
Isn't there kind of like three fences? There's like the outer one, and then there's like a couple. There's like a couple feet of, and then there's the inner one.
Plus,
the field is kind of like the courtyard.
And then there's the sliding gate fence
that goes into
the building.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's several layers of protection.
Which is
there.
Perfect because it's just perfect. And then we get into the evening.
They're building another campfire. Just like the last episode.
And we see a little bit of Beth's, you know, singing voice. So we didn't know she can sing. She starts singing a really sad song, kind of. But I feel like this. It's like so organic, the music, like her singing, because it wasn't like there was no music. It was a cappella, and Maggie joined in, and they weren't like totally in like together, like singing synchronized.
Well, Herschel said sing this other song and that your mom liked, and Maggie said don't sing that one. I don't think she could handle it because it was related to her mom.
Mm-hmm. It's probably really sad.
Yeah, so she said I'll sing that other one instead. But that's kind of a peaceful moment and
a beacon of hope.
Yeah, everyone's happy, and that singing brings Rick to the fire
away from the perimeter walking.
All this time, Rick was walking around.
Yeah, checking to see if there's any, you know, breaks in the fencing. And then Herschel's like, he's checked that like three times. I think Rick is just really cautious, is just really happy that he has this, and he just wants to make sure that it's safe. You know what I mean? And we also see a little scene with Daryl and Carol, because Daryl's on top of the car that was in front of the first gate that they got into, and just with his little poncho, his little like Mexican poncho. And Carol came up, is like, oh, here's some food because I know you want to eat, and blah, blah, blah. And they have this little moment. And then she's like, and then he's like, what's wrong? Because she's massaging her shoulder. And she's like, oh, the kickback of the gun is really painful. I'm not used to it. And he's like, okay, let me give you a massage. And they start giving her a massage. I'm like, oh my goodness. What is the ship name for them? There is a ship name for them. I don't know what it's called. Daryl and Carol. No, you can say Daryl.
Yeah. And basically, after Carol gave him the food, Daryl says, little mini Shane over there is eating all the food.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, little Shane's eating all the food. Basically,
the baby.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I didn't catch that. I was like, did he say Shane?
Yeah,
little
yeah.
Shane. I'm like, oh my god. So everybody knows that it could possibly not be that their baby.
Yeah, it could be Shane's baby.
Oh my god.
And you know, I think the reason why Rick was walking around checking the fences
is because he didn't want to be near Lori.
Yeah. I think he didn't want, because it was downtime. It was tender moment time. And he had to basically sit by the fire and sit next to Lori and have a chat. And I don't think he was trying to avoid that.
And yeah,
from a man's perspective, I think it's like, I'll just pretend I'm doing some work here.
Yeah.
doing some stuff and checking the fence three times.
unnecessarily.
Yeah, because I don't want to have meaningful discussion with anything about anything.
Yeah, and I really, we get this kind of vibe between the two because they keep exchanging these looks of hate with each other, and it's really sad. It makes me really sad. After watching these episodes, I get depressed because of Rick and Lori. They're like the power couple, and everyone's now depressed because they're depressed and not together and all that. But yeah, they have an exchange. They have a when Rick gets back because he's drawn with the music. Lori and Rick have an exchange, and we're going to play that clip right now.
I appreciate everything you're doing, and we all do. But it's been a death march, and they're exhausted. Can we just enjoy this for a few days?
Maybe we'll be here in a few days. It's no time for a picnic.
No, but it's time to get the house in order.
What do you think I'm doing?
Your absolute best.
Don't patronize me.
I'm not. I'm just saying the baby is about to be here and we need to talk about
what happened. About what?
Things. We've been avoiding the most.
You want to talk? Talk to Herschel. I'm doing stuff, Lori. Thanks, Jesus. Isn't that enough? I'm still here.
You're right. I'm sorry.
And that was the scene with Lori and Rick. That was right after Rick announced to the group that...
That they he wants to make immediately the next day go into the prison.
Yeah. And we can't stay out here in the peripherals in this grassy area. We have to go into the main building.
Yeah. And...
So what did you think of that scene?
You know what I think about this scene. I don't like this scene. I don't like any scene where they're talking to each other because it's so painful. There's so many things that are unsaid that need to be said, and there's so many things that are unsaid that is being said, you know what I mean? And although she did initially talk to him about, oh yeah, can we stay a couple days? She tried going into, you know, we need to talk about this baby and if it's ours, you know? Mm-hmm. And he would not have it. Mm-hmm. And he was really saying, oh, and she was trying to be, you know, on his side, and he didn't believe her. So he doesn't, you know, really value his her opinion anymore. As much as he used to, and that he really thinks that Lori doesn't understand all that he's doing, and using an excuse that, oh yeah, I'm doing all this stuff here, isn't that enough? Why do I have to talk about this? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think what's happening is he's kind of cut Lori out of his life, like out of his mind, and it's like, okay, well, I'm now just being a provider. I'm just being a provider, and I'm just providing safety for you to have your baby, but I don't want anything else to do with you.
Yeah, I feel like all he cares is about the thing that's inside of her and not actually her.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's just treating her just like another part of the group, like another person, like Herschel or Glenn.
Even more than that, but he treats more, you know, caringly for the members. Because I remember at one point, like, he's like, you know, he actually physically, you know, touched, you know, Beth and Maggie, you know, when he was like comforting them and stuff, and they were showing some kindness towards them. But with Lori, it's just really like he doesn't even look at her in the eyes. He's just like, you know, not even just half turned away. And you can tell just by the body language that he's revolted by her. And I feel like he's mad at Lori for, you know, putting him in the situation, you know, putting him in the situation where he had to kill his best friend for her. And at first, I thought it was just because, Lori was mad at Rick for killing Shane. But now it's more Rick is mad at Lori for making him kill Shane.
Yeah. And also the fact that the baby could be Shane's.
Yeah.
I think he hasn't gotten over that.
So what if the baby isn't his? Like, would he cut all ties with Lori and the baby completely?
Maybe, yeah. It's possible. It's horrible that the relationship has come to that because... You know, in the apocalypse era that they live in now, they can't afford to be enemies.
Exactly.
Or, you know, that cold to each other. And as we'll see later on in another episode, that They talk about, you know, can't get a divorce.
I know.
You know, we can't get a divorce, so...
We can't have lawyers talk for us, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so what do we do? And it's sad because, you know, when you're pregnant in a normal relationship, I mean, you talk about it like all the time. It's like, okay, what are we going to do for the baby? You know, what are we going to call it? You know?
Yeah, like it's a two people kind of thing, but now she's on her own.
She's basically on her own. She's having the baby. She's basically a single mom. Rick is kind of like the baby's daddy, giving the
money.
Yeah, the basic essentials.
You know what is it called when you just when you have a divorce and you start the child support? He's basically like child support.
Yeah, so he's just there because he's doing it out of his duty. Yeah, and
he's just a good man, right? He's just a good person.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, enough. And like he says, you know, if you want to talk about stuff, talk to Herschel. Like, yeah, he's the talking type. I'm not going to talk to you about it. Like, it's, mm-hmm, I'm a doer. I'm doing stuff. I'm keeping myself.
Yeah, so he's totally cut emotionally. There have no relationship at all.
Nothing's gone. She sees that in him and she's like, can't believe it. Like, that's why a lot of those scenes end with her staring at him in disbelief. And just
almost
like,
on the verge of crying.
Yeah, it's like, I can't believe he's that cold. And, you know, it's come to that.
Because she still loves him, doesn't she?
Of course. And that's what I see.
Yeah, she's so hurt.
You can see it in her.
Oh, that's what pains me, though, is because she still really loves him, you know? And he did all this, like, the beginning, and he really loved her, and he dedicated his time coming out of a coma to look for his family, and now, mm-hmm, in a few short months, it's like he doesn't want to have anything to do with her. Oh, that pains my heart. So the next day, they get into the prison, and they start doing hand-to-hand combat, and they're kind of really... They're really organized because they're all in formation, this kind of like 360 formation where they got all sides.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he keeps reminding him, don't break formation, you know, and basically says, we got this. We have the experience that it's not going to be hard. And, you know.
But they're going to do hand-to-hand combat, though.
Yeah, hand-to-hand combat.
No guns because, mm-hmm, it attracts more walkers. And plus they have
low ammo anyway. Yeah.
I like this scene because Maggie was a badass.
Yeah.
She was like...
She's a total turnaround from what she was in season two.
Yeah, she was kicking ass. Kicking butts. I don't know if we can say ass on the air. Oh, well, we all have one. Yeah, so Maggie was totally...
into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Glenn was pretty okay with it, too. Yeah, wasn't Maggie the only female that was in the group that was attacking?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Maggie's part of the elite squad.
Yeah, so she's technically like an Andrea.
Yeah, yeah, taking the place of Andrea, I guess.
Well, because the other two are Beth, who is a girl, a little child, and Lori, which is like pregnant.
Well, Beth killed a few walkers in this episode, but they were behind a fence.
Yeah, but so. she's I don't think she has like the strength yet to, mm-hmm, take them out like, yeah, hand face to face.
One cool change. Well, something new we haven't seen before is the walkers with the riot gear.
Yeah, the armor. It kind of reminded me of the game Left 4 Dead because they have different. Left 4 Dead is like basically a zombie killing game, and they have different types of zombies. And one of the zombies are armored ones that you have to take out from the back.
Mm.
You can't kill them directly. So that's what kind of was happening. They tried to stab them and hit them with their axe and stuff, but it just like boing, bounced off.
Yeah, Daryl shot one of them in the head, and his arrow just bounced off.
Oh my god! I was like,
really, Daryl?
you could totally tell that.
Yeah, your arrow's not going to go through a helmet. Come on.
I know.
And then Maggie, by accident, kind of
pushed up
a walker against the wall, and she shoved her knife underneath his chin.
Uh huh.
So she pushed the head back and underneath the chin. And then she says, oh, did you see that? I killed him.
she's so excited.
That was awesome.
Yeah, because I think she figured out because, you know, the adrenaline, like she's like in a survival situation. So she just sees the opening, yeah, you know, and
everybody caught on and started doing it.
Okay. And everyone started doing it. It was really cool. And then Rick, you know, took down one and then ripped the helmet off and the face came off of it too. And that was stuck to the helmet and you could see the skeleton. Oh, it was so gross. And he was like, he had to look away for a bit and then stab it because it was so gross.
Yeah, I'm sure he's thinking, you know, the things I've seen.
Yeah.
The things I have seen.
Yeah.
And this just adds to the list of, exactly, you know, faces being ripped off by helmets.
That's so gross.
Well, because it was a gas mask.
Uh-huh.
And it was like
suction.
Yeah. So ripping off the mask took a little bit of the face, well, all of the face.
Well, it was pretty rotten anyway, so it's just easily rippable.
Yeah, this is why I like this show, is all this gross stuff.
Yeah, it's like, really, you have to really think about how they're going to kill a zombie, you know? And when they finish, Rick mentions about, oh yeah, some of these walkers we just killed are dressed in civilian clothes.
Mm.
So there might be a hole in the perimeter.
Yeah, like
that we don't know about.
How did the civilians get in, right?
Yes, and so we don't know if this is completely safe, and we have to know for sure. So they want to go inside.
Yeah. So eventually they clear that little area there in the building, and they get in.
Mm-hmm. They get in, and they
Everyone else comes in, too.
Yeah, once everything is safe. And the first place they get into is Block C of the prison, which is we'll see a lot more of.
That's their new home.
And at first it seems like, oh my God, this place is like a really dirty and basically like a hellhole. Like, why would you want to stay in here? But there's no walkers in them. I mean, there's a couple in the cells.
Convenient.
But yeah, well, because it's a prison, Dad. Most of the places are locked off anyway.
And as they walk in, Lori says to Rick, thank you. Like, thank you. I don't know why she said that, but thank you anyway. I guess because she's thanking him. And Rick totally ignored her.
Yeah, totally just gave her the cold shoulder and turned away and just walked away from her. And I was like,
it's not even common courtesy. Like, come on, dude.
I know. Can't you be civil with her? Like, you're just, now he's acting immature. Okay.
And then there was like a weird scene with Beth and Carl.
Yeah, this awkward scene because they were all in going into the cells and picking out their bunks and stuff. And really this prison is like heaven for them because they actually are inside, living inside with actual beds and actual rooms with dividing walls. Cause God knows they probably had no privacy. And yeah, so Beth is settling into one of the bunks, and Carl's like, oh yeah, look, there's bunks. This is going to be cool. He's like checking it out, and like he's going to like settle in there with Beth. And then Herschel's like, have you picked out a room yet? He's like, oh yeah, I was just, you know, checking, make sure Beth is okay. And then walks out, like runs out.
He totally thought that he was going to be in the same room as Beth.
Uh-huh.
He was getting ready to settle in there.
Uh-huh.
I think he has the hots for Beth.
Yeah, we can kind of tell. And Rick finds the keys in this blown out guy's pocket, like he blew his brains out in the guard tower.
After everybody settles in, and Daryl didn't want to be in the prison in a cell, so
he's like claustrophobic.
He was sleeping on the balcony.
I'm gonna take the perch.
Yeah. We see Rick just sitting down in the corner against the wall all by himself, like slumped in the corner, like, it's over. Like, we're in here. We're safe. But you notice that Lori is not in the same room with Rick. She's sharing a room with Carol.
Yeah.
So
Carl's not even in the same room, I don't think.
I think Carl's going to be with Rick. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Another line that's a little telling about their history is with that Beth and Carl scene. Beth says, Beth's like, oh, it's really dirty in here. And Carl says, well, did you remember the storage containers?
Ooh, I didn't catch that. That's a good one.
That line indicates that they actually lived in storage containers at one point.
Oh, those big ones that are in usually by like the ports and stuff, and they pick them up with the cranes and put them on trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
So that kind of insight as to what they've been through, like how bad it's been.
Yeah, so they've been through a lot of stuff. You can officially say that this group has like, you know, shaken off the yoke of innocence from the very beginning, like in season two. And they're really
the yoke of innocence.
Like that word choice there.
Yeah, and
Glenn and Maggie take a room. Finally, they can share a room, unlike season two, where he would not, you know, sleep in the same room with her, with, you know, Herschel around. And
they're like a new couple
moving in
to their new apartment.
Like, I don't even care that there's brains on the wall, you know? It's perfect. And so, yeah, there's peace for a while in the prison, you know?
So let's cut to this other parallel thread that's been going on in the show with Michonne.
Yeah, and Andrea, like, what happened to them? We see earlier in the episode that Michonne gets into this, like, I don't know, like, pharmacy place, this building.
Mm-hmm.
And first we see the zombies, and they're, like, completely dormant. Like, their eyes were closed, too. They were just standing there, you know, still. And then the door opens, and Michonne rushes by, and they're like, eh. And they totally get blindsided because their heads are off before they can realize that Michonne just took them off. With her katana.
Yeah, she's pretty cool with that, swinging around and stuff. And she chopped the zombie head off, and the head is still alive.
Yeah, still like, moving around.
Mouth is still moving. And she grabbed aspirin, and we see later the reason why she grabbed it was because she took it to Andrea.
And Andrea's very sick, like near death sick. And so we can tell that they've become really really close and best friends over the winter because they've really taken care of each other. So she really cares about her. And it's kind of, you kind of expect Michonne to be this cold, quiet, you know, person that really doesn't, you know, show a lot of emotion, but she seems to show a lot of emotion for Andrea.
Mm.
And they're kind of like two really strong women. You know, I can kind of get the vibe that Andrea is like is grown a lot mm-hmm. since season two. She's a lot tougher. Even though she's sick, she still, you know, says, you know, I can take care of myself. And yeah.
And it seems like they can't move because Andrea's sick. But if they stay there, they'll probably get overrun. They can't, like, you can't stay in one spot for too long. Especially if there's not a good way to seal it off. Because eventually more and more walkers will know that you're there and they'll come and stuff. So
they had to leave.
And plus, they have no food, right? So someone has to keep going out, getting food, coming back.
Yeah, which attracts more walkers.
Yeah.
And Andrea said, if we stay here any longer, I'm going to die. Which mm-hmm. means that,
we're all going to die.
Yeah, Michonne's going to die. She doesn't want her to, die because of Andrea.
And it looks like they have some very close relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And they leave. And then we see an awesome scene where Michonne's walking off with her two little pets. She kind of shakes the chain to get them to walk with her.
What do you have to say about that?
It's so iconic.
About the two walkers. That's so weird. Why would she be having those walkers on a
leash? To me right now, they seem like kind of like camels because they're carrying all her gear on her shoulder.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
They have humongous packs on them.
Yeah.
Their arms are cut off.
Yeah, their arms and their jaws are gone.
Yeah, so they can't bite people.
Mm-hmm. I like them. They're like pets. I want them. They're like a fashion accessory for the apocalypse. Like, everyone has one.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no one has one.
So that's all we see from Michonne and Andrea. They didn't really go too much more detail, but basically just from that short scene, we can tell that they've been through a lot together. They're close. They're very close to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited.
We see from them in this episode, don't we? Huh?
Yeah, and I'm excited to see where it goes from here.
Yeah. Technically there's kind of like two storylines going on here. Mm-hmm. Well, there's actually like a lot of storylines going on in one group and then another storyline.
Yeah.
We go back to the cell and Herschel and Lori. So this is an interesting scene. And I think it's kind of funny and kind of sad because Carol calls Herschel to say, hey, we need you, right? And Rick's like, is everything okay? And Carol's like, yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Well, everything is not okay.
Yeah, because we find out that Lori hasn't felt the baby kick in a while. And she's starting to think that maybe is a stillborn and that maybe the baby's dead inside of her like a walker and it's going to rip her out from the inside. And all these theories and stuff.
That was pretty scary. It's like, can you imagine?
Exactly like that one movie I was talking about with the mall and the baby and the zombie baby.
So the fact that they didn't want to tell Rick indicates...
Speaks volumes, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, Rick is going to go ballistic again. Oh, what's going on? Oh my God. You know.
You can't do anything right. You can't even carry a baby.
Yeah. You're a horrible mother. And she's like, I can't feel anything, not even the Braxton Hicks contractions. She can't feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And Braxton Hicks contractions are because I've been through the pregnancy thing and with you and your brother. That's basically like, it's like contractions, but they're just before the baby comes.
Uh-huh.
They're like, you feel these like muscle spasms on the side of your stomach and stuff.
Oh.
She didn't even feel that, so she's wondering if the baby's dead or not. And yeah, her point about if we're all infected and the baby dies, then
the baby will come back.
Is a walker.
Yeah.
So what's up with that?
That's scary. I wonder if that's possible.
Yeah.
I would really like to have a scientist on this group, which I also wanted to mention that everybody in the group has a purpose, you know, like Herschel's the farmer, Daryl's the wilderness expert, Rick's the leader.
Herschel's also a doctor.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, he's a farmer and a doctor. And Carol's kind of like his apprentice.
Mm, yeah.
And, you know, Beth is like the singer. Maggie and Glenn, I don't know what Maggie and Glenn do. They're just like the couple.
Yeah, you kind of wonder why everyone's hanging out with each other, like the group.
Yeah. Because
like, for example, Daryl could totally go on his own. Like Daryl is very, very...
He could survive on his own if he had to.
But of course, he has a thing with Carol. So they might...
He feels responsible for her, kind of.
Well, so basically, if the group splits up, mm-hmm. Daryl and Carol are going to go on their own.
As a team. Yeah. But Daryl kind of likes Rick.
Yeah. Glenn and Maggie is going to go on their own.
No, with Herschel and Beth.
Right, because Glenn's not going to leave Herschel and Beth.
No, they're kind of like a package deal now.
Yeah. And then there's Rick, Lori, and Carl. And then there's T-Dog, which is on his own.
Yeah! T-Dog doesn't really belong to anybody.
T-Dog doesn't have anyone. And also, T-Dog...
Like wanted to leave in the first.
Still doesn't have any good lines.
Yeah. Actually, he did have a lot of lines, though. A lot more than season two.
Yeah, I guess. And also, there's no character development on him either.
Yeah.
Well, Beth doesn't have a lot of character development either, but still.
We kind of got that from season two. Like, she was suicidal for a bit.
Yeah. So they still don't give any like storyline to T-Dog.
Yeah.
Like, give him something like, oh, takes more responsibility, or he or
he's best friends with Carl,
or give us some backstory on him, or
like, where'd he come from?
Yeah, nothing, man.
I know. Well, Team T-Dog, man.
Yeah, poor T-Dog.
Yeah,
and
yeah, Laura basically says also that if that ever happens, put her down. Like, if my baby comes back and I'm a walker too, put me down. Don't wait for me. I feel like it's kind of like rude because she's saying that, yeah, Herschel, put me down because I know you want to save me like you did to your family, but it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that poor Lori is talking about is how she feels. Like, she says, my son can't stand me. My husband
hates
me after all I put him through. It's like I put the knife into his hand. Like, still stuck on that Shane thing.
Yeah, and, you know, that explains that, oh, yeah, she feels like he's mad because, you know, she's the reason why they're, you know, Shane's dead. And
can you imagine being pregnant, going through all this emotion, and then having all this burden about how everyone hates you? Like, your own family hates you.
Yeah, like Rick, your son.
Your son and your husband hate you. Like, she must be going through emotional torture right now.
Oh my God, yeah. And then even Herschel says, yeah, everyone can feel it. Everyone's carrying that burden.
Yeah, so.
Because it's affecting the whole group, you know?
Sheesh, that's horrible, man.
Oof.
I'm mad at Rick.
I know, Rick. God, being such a dick. And, yeah,
The next scene is kind of exciting because.
They get ready to go into the prison.
Well, they're in the cell block,
mm-hmm.
but the prison is safe. And not safe at the same time. It's safe, like, only portions
of it. It's a double-edged sword, yeah.
Yeah, only portions of it are safe. And we realize that there's a lot more dangers lurking around the corners because they haven't inspected them. And they can't afford to just be... Oh, the thing is that they need to get to where the food is.
Yeah, they need... Because there's an infirmary, there's a food place, there's, like, a whole bunch of stuff that they could use.
Yeah, and
that's essential.
They still haven't opened up that... the resources yet, like, yeah. The food and all that, which is vital. So they have to go get the food, and then they go out and they're going through the hallways. What did you think about that whole scene where they're going through the hallways?
It's so scary. That's so suspenseful, especially with the music too, because, like, they had one of those music where it's like, you think turn the corner and you think someone's gonna be there, but it's not, but then turn a corner again and yeah, there is something there. But they were doing the same routine where they said don't break formation, you know, they're all like have all their flashlights and stuff, and they were really smart with it too by putting like spray painting the arrows so they could figure out an exit, which is smart, a lot smarter than a bunch of horror movies when they get lost in houses and stuff. And the reason why I really like this show, because of all I keep talking about, its detail and it's how realistic it is, because I see a lot of I watch a lot of TV shows, and even Dad, you can say how bad those TV shows are. And I understand because their attention to detail and the storyline is not really developed. You know what I mean? So it's really refreshing to watch
things that are not really plausible.
Yeah.
Like, would this person actually do this in this situation? Yes, they would. Or, you know, like that, why would that person do that? Like, that makes no sense, right? So yeah. There's none of that here. There's a lot of like, okay, that makes sense. They would do that.
And the show makes you think a lot more. Like, it makes you, you know, you don't really know what's going to happen next. It's not predictable.
Yeah. And there's a lot of chaos, though, that happens. At some point, they get overrun.
Yeah, because the walkers are coming at all sides, and so they kind of get split up too. And so Glenn and Maggie are split up, and then the other group hide into a closet and say, we got to go back to get them, obviously, because Herschel was with them this time, which is new. And yeah, so they're going through and they try to call them out, like, where are they? Like, Maggie, Glenn, right? And then Herschel hears them and splits off from the group without telling anybody, and then goes over to the direction where he heard them, and a walker grabs his leg and rips it off, basically. It takes a big chunk out of it. And then Glenn and Maggie find each other, or Glenn and Maggie find the group, and they take them. So
Herschel gets bitten. Obviously, he's going to turn into a zombie, a walker.
Yeah. And they're rushing to find an exit, but they can't because they're all, like, trapped. So they break into the cafeteria, and they put him down, and they got to do what they have to do. And it seemed like they already knew what they had to do, because it wasn't really a big shock to everybody. Even Herschel, I kind of felt like Herschel knew that they had to amputate the leg. So... he takes the axe and starts hacking away at the leg. And it was so gruesome. It looks so realistic, you know? And even Rick was just like, hack, 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 wipe sweat out of brows, hack, 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 you know? It was so intense. And the walkers are still like banging through the door too.
Yeah.
And just to like, you know, add, you know, more things to the situation, we see prisoners simultaneously come up from behind the counter and they're like, who the hell are you guys? And they're like, who the hell are you?
Well, the first time they showed them, I thought they were walkers.
You did?
Yeah, the first time they popped up, I thought they were more walkers.
But they popped up at the same time. They popped up really quickly.
Yeah, and then
they had like bats and knives in their hands.
And then one of the prisoners says, "Holy crap! You know what's this?" That
whole episode ends there.
Yeah, so we don't know who these people are.
Talk about cliffhanger.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen to Herschel now. But the important thing for that scene was that the fact that they had an axe, and you know. Apparently, if you know a little bit about the backstory, that they always knew this was about going to happen at some point.
They've talked about what if one of us turns, or what if something like this happens, and how we're going to, you know, handle the situation.
Yeah, that's why it was very straightforward. There was no argument.
Questions. Like back when Randall kind of broke his leg, and they had to decide if they were going to amputate it or not while walkers are coming out.
Yeah,
them.
What do we do? What do we do?
You know, yeah.
There was no discussion of what to do. It's like, okay. This is going to hurt. He grabbed the axe and just did it. Like, everybody knew exactly that if you get bitten in the leg or something, or the arm.
That is, yeah, if there's a chance that we could save you, we're going to take it.
Yeah, we're going to cut that thing off. And because if you get bitten in the arm, that could happen too, right?
Yeah.
If you get bitten in the arm, you can just chop off the arm.
But you have to be a lot faster because the arm is closer to the brain.
That's true.
Yeah.
And they tied it up so that the blood flow was blocked, and they chop it. It's kind of similar to when you get bitten by a snake.
Yeah.
A poisonous snake. They say you should put a tourniquet.
And you should always keep your arm or your leg the closest to the ground, away from your, like,
your heart.
Keep it down, yeah, downwards. So stop it from, you know, rising up.
Well, you put like a tourniquet or something, mm-hmm. and then you suck out the blood with your mouth.
Actually, they say it's not a good idea to suck out the blood because you might be pushing it in even more.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I read that somewhere.
And plus, if you have a cut in your mouth,
yeah,
then you can get infected that
way. I think Bear Grylls taught me that. Yeah.
And yeah, so this whole episode was pretty dramatic. It's the first episode, and there's like so much stuff that happened. A lot of walker deaths.
And I noticed that when they were in the catacombs, you know, in those dark places, there was a lot of skeletons basically lying around. You know, like the walkers have been eating at that for a while.
So I think this was a great first episode, and I really liked how there was a lot of zombie kills.
Yeah,
and
there was a lot more action. In season two, probably all put together, except for the season finale of season two.
Well, let's get into some of the trivia.
Trivia!
I wonder if people think that's annoying. apparently there's the most, I mean, this episode, the first episode had the most zombie kills of all of the season one and two.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That's kind of a record so far. So that kind of hints to how the show is going to be going.
Yeah, the kind of like, you know, the kickoff for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. Also, we recently found out that the person who played Michonne at the end of season two, that mysterious hooded figure, was actually not the actor, the same actor.
Mm-hmm.
It was the stand-in for Michonne because they weren't sure, they hadn't casted.
They hadn't cast Danai Gurira, which is the name
of the actress.
The actress who plays Michonne, they hadn't cast her yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so they decided to use a stand-in, yeah.
So that was a fun fact of the day. Also, another trivia point here is that the prison, the actual prison is actually not a prison, but it's actually a studio in Atlanta that they built. Well, they didn't really build it, but they built the prison around the studio.
Yeah. So there's the studios, and well, there's a lot of interior scenes. And then behind the studios, there's that's where they built the whole prison. So it's not a real prison.
Yeah.
It looks pretty realistic, though.
Yeah, it looks... I totally fooled me, because I don't go to prisons much, so I wouldn't really know.
And this is the first time that they've been filming a lot indoors. I mean, they had it at the CDC a little bit.
Yeah, that was only took up a couple episodes, though.
Yeah.
And it was really not really that interesting, because it was pretty just a normal building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but this one's a prison, and it's like, you know... there's gore everywhere and there's zombies and blood and all that stuff. So it was really cool to, you know, and they're always outside. So they're always, they probably have like a better sound kind of thing going on. You know what I mean? They have better control of lighting and all that.
Yeah. Cause they're in a studio now, mm-hmm. and internally. So it seems like this prison is going to take over the rest of
the season.
The season, because I mean, where would they go? Why would they leave?
Right? Exactly, they're going to fight to the death. I think
before they let the prison go.
Yeah,
because it's a pretty safe place, and plus Lori is on the brink of giving birth.
Yeah, so. I think she's like 8.5 months pregnant or something like that.
Yeah, so she's on the brink of giving birth, so I don't think they're ever going to leave.
Yeah. So what are your expectations for the rest of the season? As if you don't know what's going to happen.
Well. When I first watched this, my impression was that, okay, well, let's see how they survive in this prison and start a new life.
Exactly, yeah.
And my thinking is that it's going to be just like Herschel's farm, where they found this new place. Okay, let's stay there and...
See all the soap opera drama.
Yeah. But unlike Herschel's farm, I think it's not going to go down in flames. I don't think it's going to burn to the ground. And I think it's going to be a little bit more exciting, but it's also more dangerous.
Yeah.
Because Herschel's farm was kind of this idyllic place where it was calm.
Like the safe haven.
Yeah, but this prison is actually not so safe. It's mostly safe from the outside, but on the inside, there's still a lot of walkers around. And there's still a lot of areas they haven't investigated yet.
They're going to have to work at, you know, keeping it, making it safe.
Locking it down. And it's possible that half of it's, there could be a wall that's collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
And there could be people that are coming in, walkers and stuff. So still not a very safe place. So we'll see how it goes. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited. My expectations for the season is pretty high because I really want it to be action-packed and full and not so much about... I still want it to be, like, you know, relevant to the characters and about what they're going through too, but I also want to see more zombie action.
Walker action. Mm-hmm. We gotta stop calling them zombies.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry.
I'm sure... People that are listening to this are like, no, they're not zombies.
Or they probably don't care at all. They're like, I don't care what you call them.
Walking Dead fans are pretty serious. They take their walkers seriously.
Yeah.
And so do we. So we got to respect that.
We value zombies, okay? Or excuse me, walkers, okay? We are diehard fans.
Every time you say the word zombie, you're going to have to put 5 cents in the zombie jar, in the walker jar.
Oh, you just added 5 cents to the walker jar.
And then we'll collect that and buy a Walking Dead action figure to add to our collection.
So don't you want to say zombie more then? And I guess that really concludes this episode, the first episode of season 3, and we're going to try to rush through all of it to get to the end of season 3 so we can get ready for the premiere of season 4. I'm so excited. And also, just a reminder, you can email us at talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com and like us on Facebook, Walking Dead Girl Podcast, and visit our website where you can find all those social links at thewalkingdeadgirl.com.
Until next time, bye from me.
Bye.